Greetings and welcome to Fountain of Life's Daily Inspirations. This is Brother Philip Hodson, and today we are going to carry on with the theme that we began a number of days ago on exploring this great salvation that God has given to us and exhorted us to not let these things slip, to not let them slip by us without embracing them and laying hold of them, to not neglect or count it as a light thing, but to get all that God intended us to get and receive out of this great salvation for which Jesus shed his blood to give us. So may we seek first and foremost the kingdom of God and his righteousness with the promise that he will take care of everything else. And may we hunger and thirst after righteousness with the promise that we will be filled. May we press on towards the high calling, through the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And may we forget those things that are behind and press on that we may apprehend and lay hold of all that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. May this be our heart and our desire and our testimony. Today, we're going to move forward from John chapter 14, where we studied there yesterday as he spoke of Jesus shared that it was evident that he was in the Father was in him, because the works that flowed through his life, the blessings, the grace, the power, the forgiveness, the healing, the deliverance, the ministry, the changed lives, all these things that flowed through his life as that river of living water flowed from his belly, from his innermost being, as the scripture promised. He said this very flow would be in the life of the one who believes on him. He said, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And just as Nicodemus could say of Jesus, we know you are a teacher come from God, because no man can do the works that you do unless God is with him. Jesus said the works that he was doing, so should the ones do who believed on him. The works that he was doing that showed that God was with him, God longs, and Jesus shed his blood so that those very works, so that the presence of God that flowed through Jesus could flow through our life, so the communion with the Father that we see in the life of Jesus could be ours. Oh, it's wonderful that Jesus is more than just the one who forgives our sins. Jesus, in his very life, in his example, in the pattern that he has set for us, is exactly what God has called us to have and to be and to live in this world. A life of communion with the Father, a life of prayer and intercession and answered prayers, a life of the Spirit of God flowing into and through our lives in the lost and dying world around us, into the people that our lives touch, that just as his life touched others and changed them. A woman at the well that had had five husbands and was living with a man that was not her husband left changed, having tasted of living water. A demoniac with a legion of demons within him was clothed and in his right mind sitting there, having been delivered from that whole legion of demons by the presence of Jesus. And we could go on and on with the stories of the woman bent over with infirmity, the one with the issue of blood. And we could look at all these, the blind that could see, the lepers that were cleansed, and see the flow and the grace of God that flowed through Jesus' life. And Jesus said, he that believes in me, the works that I do shall he do. And so that promise of that which we see in the life of Jesus is for you and I. Today we're going to go a little bit further. We're going to jump forward to John chapter 17 and explore a little more of Jesus' calling for us as his disciples. And we're going to see what he says about it. And he speaks there. It's his prayer. He is praying with the Father. This prayer is revealed to us so that we can know exactly what Jesus is praying for us. You know, we know he ever lives to make intercession for us. And we say, well, what is he saying? Right here we have a priestly prayer of Jesus as he intercedes for us, as he in his last hours there upon the earth was praying and pleading to God for his disciples then and for those who would believe through their testimony. And that goes down to you and to I who have believed through the New Covenant Scriptures and through the proclamation of the good news that we have heard, that we have believed on him. And so this prayer is not only for those back there 2,000 years ago. This prayer is for you and I. And we'll read and we'll begin, just cut in there towards the middle of it there in John 17, verse 17. Jesus says these words. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He says, sanctify them. And what does sanctify mean? It means set them apart as holy. Set them apart entirely to yourself. Let them be sanctified. Let them be wholly yours. Sanctify them and set them apart for yourself through your truth. And then he says, thy word, your word, Father, is truth. And so if we are going to be sanctified and set apart to God and have that which God intends, we must be set apart by the word of God. We must be those, he says, on this one will I look, on him who is broken and of a contrite heart and trembles at my word. Let the word of God cause our heart to tremble. Let us hear him as he invites us as we read the word of God and see things that are contrary to what we have known, that are higher than what we have experienced. Let us hear him calling us, come up here, and hear his invitation to a deeper and fuller life with him. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Then he says in 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And we say, well, why was Jesus sent into the world? Jesus was sent into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, I am chief. Jesus was sent into the world to be a light in the world. And he says that we too are to be lights in the world. Jesus was sent into the world to destroy the works of the devil. And we too are to wear the full armor of God. And we too are to be the congregation of the Lord, the church of the Lord Jesus, before whom the gates of hell will not be able to stand. So we too are here for the same purpose Jesus was, to see that the world may be saved through him, not to condemn. We too are here to shine as light in the midst of a perverse and adulterous age. And so may we shine as he, and he says it clearly, as you send me into the world, Father, even so I sent them into the world. So the life that we see in Jesus is very much what he is calling you and I to. Praise the Lord, he's not just a good teacher. Praise the Lord, he's not just a wonderful Savior, and he is a wonderful Savior. Praise the Lord, he is that which God is calling you and I to experience, as he is Emmanuel, God with us, and he wants to restore to us all that was lost in Adam. And when we look at his life, we see one that is restored to perfect communion with the Father, with the blessing of God and the grace of God and the power of God upon his life. And this is what God desires to do in your life and in mine. As you sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And he's going to sanctify himself as he gives himself wholly to his Father, as he goes to the cross and takes upon himself our transgressions, the chastisement of our peace is laid upon him. As the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us and contrary to us were laid upon him, he takes them out of the way so that we too can be sanctified by the truth. Neither pray I, verse 20, for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that includes you and I. And what is his prayer? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And here he is again repeating that which we saw in John 14. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Here he's saying, those works you saw in my life were because I am one with the Father, and the Father is one with me, and I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. And he said, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do. And so here he says, here is his prayer. He says, that they all may be one. And how one? One meaning we're all going to wear the same kind of clothes and agree to go to the same things and not go to other things and to do certain things certain ways. No, that's a whole different unity. That's a conformity unity. That's a unity that the army practices and other things. And I'm not saying it's bad, but this unity, this oneness that he is calling us to is a oneness like we see between him and his Father. That he is one with the Father, that he and the Father are one. And he says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me. This is the oneness. And I in thee, this oneness, this very oneness, that they also may be one in us. Why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So that the world can see in the life of his people that that no man could do the works that they do unless God is with them, that the stranger and the unbeliever that would come into the midst of God's people would have the very thoughts of his heart exposed before him, and he would fall upon his face and cry out that God is truly in the midst of his people. This is God's will, and this is the prayer of Jesus, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. The glory that was on the life of the Lord Jesus, he has given to us. And we are to be changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, just as we read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. All that is needed for us to be one with the Father has been given to us through Jesus. All that's been needed was paid for in his blood, that we can know the intimacy and communion with the Father and with the Son that we see in the life of the Lord Jesus. Oh, this is a wonderful salvation. I in them. And if we wonder what it is again, is it just coming up with some agreements so that we can all look the same and act the same? No, he says again, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And some people think this oneness is something we wait to heaven to experience, but he says two times here, he says this oneness and the reality of it in our lives is to be a testimony and a witness to the world that the Father sent the Son. And that is for today. That is for today. And may our lives express this oneness that Jesus died and gave his life and lived his life and rose from the grave and ascended to the right hand of God to ever live to make intercession for us. May we realize this, which Jesus shed his blood to do in you and in I. And he says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And remember, we're able to stand. He's able to keep us from falling and make us to be able to stand before his glory with exceeding joy. And he says here, I want them to behold my glory. Are you beholding his glory? That is God's will for your life. This is what Jesus died to do in your life. May we get a hold of this. May we behold his glory. Just as Moses beheld the glory of the Lord, so is the invitation to you and I through the blood of Jesus. Oh, this is so wonderful. Oh, righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Remember the Father looking over his Son saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, in whom I am totally satisfied. He says, listen to this, that the love wherewith thou, Father, hast loved me may be in them and I in them. That the Father can look over your life and my life with that radiant smile of joy and satisfaction like we see him declaring from heaven over the life of his Son. This is God's will for our life. This is a great salvation. Tomorrow we will close this little series, but may God bless you, and may we get a hold of this great salvation that Jesus died to give us. God bless you.